What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Evolve You podcast. I am your host, Dr. Brian. Hopefully you're doing absolutely wonderful. Whether you are here for the first time and you have found us through this medium or through any other social platform, we welcome you into this community. If you are a long time subscriber, follower, supporter, I just appreciate you. The guests appreciate you for tuning in continuously and even sharing out the wealth. Because you listen and you hit that little share button, or you just tag us in your posts or your emails, whatever you do to share this information out, we just appreciate you so much for doing that. Because our goal here on this podcast, and I say we because we are a community, along with the guests that I invite onto this platform as well to share their area of expertise. This podcast was created as an evolutionary project for myself and to share this project with other people. And for me, it's been an outlet. And we're in this year of 2022. 2021 was really a rebuilding year and a scaling year for myself and the companies that I've created. And what I want to do is continuously be able to give back to the culture and the community and the people that have always been there from day one, and any new subscribers or new followers or new supporters that come on to the journey with us. So that being said, if you're not too familiar with this podcast, this is a health, business, finance, personal development podcast, all to evolve you into the best version of yourself. So we're going to be talking about everything holistically around the ballpark per se to make you the best human being as possible. And because you already have that within you, all we're doing is trying to reignite it, pull it out, and show the world how powerful you are and the expertise that you have and the value you have to deliver. So that being said, let's go ahead and jump into today's episode, which for a lot of you may be surprising. If you've been following me for the past year and you've tapped into what I've been creating in 2021, I've always had this knowledge, but it just wasn't public knowledge because I wanted to hone in my skill set in this specific industry or area of expertise. And it falls into this bucket of evolution and creating this alchemist mind frame or alchemist way of living, which is very holistic. And for me personally, the financial piece for a lot of people's lives, and if you're listening to this right now, has been a struggle, especially during the pandemic. And even before the pandemic just heightened a lot of things. It just exposed a lot of people's weaknesses or lack thereof, or what they weren't focused on or putting their attention towards. You can't manage what you can't measure. And if you're not measuring certain things, you can't manage them either. So finances have always been a thing for people where you have money coming in, but the management of the money or the stewardship of the money wasn't really taught in your family. I know for me, it was brought up, but it wasn't a deep dive conversation. And every time we got around the dinner table, we were talking about, hey, dad, hey, mom, how much money did you bring home today? Which investments are you putting yourself in? How are you leveraging other people's money, i.e. credit cards or good debt? How are we doing that? What are we doing with real estate and the family business? Like these things aren't talked about in a lot of households. And I wanted to bring that to the forefront, not just, you know, for a lot of people, it seems like this whole financial literacy movement just came out of the woodworks and everyone's an expert in the field in finances. And I'm not saying I'm an expert, but what I will say is I do practice what I preach. And I've been to the top of the mountain and I didn't know what to do with the things that I had. I didn't even know I had something good. And then it all fell just to shambles per se. I was stripped of everything down to the bare bones and had to restore just my confidence, but also the financial side of things, both in my bank account and also with the leverage that I used to have with credit. And I want this to be a one-on-one. This is going to be a series here, but I want this to just be a credit one-on-one, a financial one-on-one. And I want it to be a basics episode, okay? And the basic starting point that I want people to understand is, and I teach this, and you can You can check down below any of the show notes and things. And if you have questions, please. But since this is a public platform that anyone can listen wherever you are in the world, I want to make sure that people aren't making the wrong moves. Okay. So I just want to let you know that I'm not your financial advisor. I'm not your, I don't have your stuff in front of me. I don't know your situation. But what I can say is there are some principles, right? And before anyone asked me, and for clarification, you know, I acquired close to $1 million in business funding in 2021, okay? I did a sequence of funding for credit cards, auto loans. I have 5 or 6 vehicles, business name. I have 1 or 2 in my personal name. I scaled multiple businesses. I started 2 other businesses. I'm starting a 4th as of the time of this recording. There's just a lot of moving things that were already in the works. So just to give some, you know, peace for those that are listening, like, what does he have the right to talk about this stuff? I'm very methodical. And when people ask me about what part of your doctoral background in pharmacy did you take into this entrepreneurial journey that you're on, Brian? And I tell them that the analytical side, treating these businesses as if they were my patients or as if they were a case study that I was trying to uncover. I have to have a sample size. I have to have testing mechanisms. I have to see if things work. I have to see what are the upsides, the pros, the cons. I have to understand what I'm getting myself into. So that being said, let's clear the air there and let's get into the good stuff, okay? So when it comes to the money piece, there's already an episode on my on this platform, on this particular podcast, talking about just a money mind frame and the psychology of money. So what I'll do is I'll link it down below, but I want this one to be about credit 101, okay? Credit 101, because I get a lot of people asking me now, seeing what I'm doing with the financial space and how I've been able to leverage other people's money, protect my cash, continuously to grow my businesses, share my knowledge, and kind of scale very quickly. And the number one thing that is in a lot of people's way is they don't understand that they have leverage. So we're always in the mind frame that we have to wait on a check to land in our checking account or bank account before we can make any moves. So it's always this give or take, like it's this waiting game back and forth, right? So there's a couple of people that might be listening to this. Number one, you are an expert, okay? You're at the top of the food chain. You understand everything that I'm gonna be talking about and you're gonna bypass this. You're gonna stop it right now. But I guarantee you there's always an optimization side of things, meaning that you can have good credit like I did, i.e. a good credit score on the right scoring system is going to be above 760. If you have anywhere above 750, you can pretty much get anything you want in some scaling mechanism, some arena, some financial institutions, whatever you're going for. Typically, if you have above 740, some institutions say, hey, you can get anything you want. But ideally, it's not about the score, it's about the profile, okay? So the first thing I always tell people before they ask me, hey, how do you get business credit? How do you get all these other things? I try to explain the credit and financial system for them so they understand how this thing works, okay? So there's 3 credit bureaus, okay? 3 credit bureaus. On the personal side, there's Experian, there's TransUnion, and there's Equifax. When anyone asks you what your credit score is, you should ask them, which bureau would you like? That will inform them. Hopefully, they understand the question that is being asked back to them, that you know what you're talking about, because they're all for-profit companies. There's not just one credit score. There's multitudes of credit scores, okay? And it's not the score. It's the profile that elicits the score. So when I hear people tell me, I'm like, hey, what's your credit score? They're like, 7-ish range. I'm like, which bureau? They're like, I didn't know. I don't know, right? Or they're checking in the wrong place. So the second thing you want to do is begin checking your credit in the right place, okay? If you did not know, there's two scoring systems. There's a FICO scoring system, which came out first, okay? And then, as in any business, there's always got to be a competitor. It's like Uber and Lyft, okay? This Vantage scoring system came out and began really, really marketing and taking over a lot of financial markets. And it made it easier for the consumer to check their credit score, i.e., where Credit Karma came from. And a lot of financial institutions use this Vantage scoring system because of the partnership that they have with Vantage. Okay. But what happens is that when they pull your credit for whatever product you are applying for, they're typically pulling a FICO score, not a Vantage score. Okay. So you can check me on this. If you are looking at your credit profile or your score via Credit Karma, or if you're looking at it through a financial banking system and they tell you your credit score with the bank, right? You can look at the very bottom and it'll typically say Vantage score 3. Okay. That is not the most accurate score. Okay. So what I want people to do is take that for face value. Okay. As an overview, but when it comes to this game of really leveraging other people's money or creating this leverage in life that you can start living the life you desire, okay, and finances are a piece of that, you've really got to dial it in to know exactly what it is you're going in the door with. If you're looking to apply for a mortgage, an auto loan, credit cards, business funding, whatever it is, for you or your family or for your business, you have to know these things, because what happens is people get disappointed, right? They check one thing and they think they're good, and then they go apply. And again, it goes back to the mantra of you can't manage what you can't measure, and you can't measure what you can't manage, vice versa, right? So if you aren't managing things on a regular basis, things get out of order. Okay. If you don't understand things, that's when people fumble the ball. Okay. They slip up and then they apply for the mortgage and they realize that their score has dropped 50 points because they paid at the wrong date or the wrong time, or all their bureaus were open and not frozen and protected. So some lingering things have gone into collections or have been charged off. Okay. So 3 credit bureaus, 2 scoring systems, and where to check, you always want to look for a FICO score. So the easiest place I tell people to check, number one, is go to Experian.com, okay? Experian.com, it is free, okay? Why do I say Experian? Because I have to explain why I'm recommending certain things. Is because it is typically the top bureau that most of these products that you're looking for, they're pulling from that bureau. TransUnion and Equifax, I would consider more wild cards. Maybe you might get more loans. Certain credit unions or community banks might use a TransUnion or a Equifax. Certain financial institutions, national banks, depending on your location in the country, right, will use these. And again, this is a US-based credit system, okay? So just be mindful that you have to know that there's 3 bureaus, because when you're applying for something, you want to know what is the best score to show. So if you know if an institution is pulling from Experian, you need to make sure that your Experian bureau is optimized. Okay. So Experian.com, if you want to take it a step further, I would recommend paying for either Experian.com or paying for MyFICO. Okay, MYFICO. Okay, that will give you all the bureaus and it will give you multitudes of different credit scores across different lending options. So mortgage scores, auto scores, credit card scores. It will go down the list. So you know when you're going in the door, you know exactly what you have. So you can say it's time, or you're like, maybe I need to wait a little bit so I can lower my interest rate. I can get a better deal. Whatever it might be, so you're not shooting yourself in the foot, okay? So that is a basis, okay? 3 credit bureaus, where to check your credit score, 2 scoring systems, and that is a foundation, okay? Benchmarks, okay? So what makes up a credit score? Another common question, what makes up a credit score? These are, again, credit basics 101, personal credit, Okay, for any of those that jump on that are familiar with what I do now as a piece of my business, okay, I still have my coaching and consulting business, coaching business owners. I still coach through the life coaching modalities. So don't get it twisted, but the financial piece is a key piece in connecting all the dots, okay? So what makes up the score? Well, when people say, how do I increase my credit score, or why did it drop? Like, what's going on? This whole system is messed up. Well, really, if you only know the five touch points of the credit profile, then you know exactly what happens. Okay. The very top, if you're taking notes or you can visualize this, be careful if you're driving and you're listening to this, but the very top of the totem pole, you have payment history. So when your parents or grandparents or whoever, your mentors, or you just looked it up and it said, pay your bills on time. And you're like, yeah, that's obvious. Pay my bills on time. But it's because it's 35% of your credit score, okay, that makes up your credit profile. So if you miss one payment, it could drop your score between 50 to 100 plus points, okay? So paying the bill, even if it's the minimum, okay, even if you keep paying the $35 or the $100 or whatever it is, and you're in credit card debt, pay the minimum. Okay, 35%. The next bucket of these five is utilization. Okay, that means the amount of credit you're using across all your revolving lines. So now that you know where you check your credit score, you want to see what open revolving credit cards or personal lines of credit that you have open. Okay, so for example, if you have $10,000 across all of your credit cards as a credit limit, if you're using $5,000 across all the cards, okay, not just one, all the cards, you're at 50% utilization. I get that question all the time, okay? What is your utilization? Well, I have this card. No. You need to know all your total utilization is what matters when you start applying for things, not just one card. Okay. So what is your total utilization? That's 30%. So this is where my credit card debt people fall into place. They don't have any derogatories. They pay their bills on time, but their score has dropped significantly because they're in credit card debt, i.e. their utilization is through the roof. Maybe it'd be 50%, 60%, 70%, or for some people, 100+%. Okay, they've maxed out their credit cards. The third point is going to be your length of credit. So my 18-year-olds, my 19-year-olds, my more mature individuals that are listening, okay, I'm not going to do age, but my more mature people that never had a credit card or have paid off all their debt, okay, maybe you're going through the Dave Ramsey model and that's a whole nother discussion, okay, you've paid off all your debt and you've got no credit history anymore, okay, you're starting from ground zero, you're essentially naked, you've got a thin file, so you've got no length of credit, that's 15%, okay. So there's such thing as having some good debt, even if you don't want to have loans or lines of auto loans. Maybe you don't want to have a car payment. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe you have paid off your student loans. It's still important to keep those old credit cards open or to have a couple of credit cards on your file. Okay. So that being said, the fourth is going to be your diversification. So a thin file could be you've paid off all your installment loans, okay, your student loans, your mortgage, your private loans that you've taken out, you've paid off your auto loans, you've got no installment loans, and you've got one credit card, and it has a $500 or $1,000 limit, and you don't like credit cards at all, so you don't use them, okay? This is a thin file, so you've got no diversification. So when you tell someone, I'm good with money, I've got good credit, but you look at your credit and it's only barely creeping into the 700s, that's because you've got no length and you've got no diversification. Okay, so it's good to have some things on there and manage it, okay? And the fifth and final are gonna be inquiries, and that's 10%. So you've got 10, 10, 15, 30, 35. 10, 10, 15, 30, 35. Okay, so an inquiry, a lot of people are scared of those, But when an inquiry hits your credit report, depending on your other factors, it could drop it between about 1 to maybe 7 points. Okay. If you have a thin file, it could drop it even more. So if you got a thick file, I mean, you got diversification, your payments are on time, you have length, your utilization is low, then you want to apply for something and you're like, I don't want an inquiry. Well, the inquiry for you is insignificant. It's probably going to drop your score 1 point, and then in 1 month or 2 months, it's going to pop right back up. Okay. So this is the basis. So when you look at your profile and you understand where to check things, this is the foundation. Okay. This is the foundation of understanding what goes on. If you have any derogatories or red marks, lates, anything like that, this is understanding the whole credit financial system that you have rights. Okay. You have rights to dispute anything you deem is incorrect, invalid, or has been discriminatory towards you. Okay. That you had unknowingness of. And you have the right to dispute that on whatever you deem as invalid. Okay. So don't look at the credit system or the financial system as against us. You have to understand the language so then you can speak in the language of what's going on. And when you can speak in that language, then you can show your hand. For my poker players or card players or whatever, you can show your hand and say, hey, look, I understand the language, so I'm going to talk in your language to show you exactly how I can get a 760 plus score or an 800 score or whatnot. So you fill all these buckets up over a duration of time, you're going to have a thick file that you can leverage that goes into business credit. Okay. So why is this important moving forward with inflation? Okay. For any of my people that don't believe in credit and only believe in cash is king and everything, with inflation and the price markup of everything, your dollar in the savings account or in barely even touching in the market in the wrong investments is losing money into the negative every day. It's not that things are getting more expensive, it's natural inflation. So if we don't leverage other people's money, protect our cash, and put the cash in the right investments, whether it be real estate, whether it be crypto, digital currencies, whether it be more newer IPOs, right? Whether it be more digital markets and new technology, if we don't do those things, then the complaining or the frustration of the financial system, yes, there's some things that still need to be worked out, but we can't do anything about those things. So if you can leverage other people's money and protect your cash, and for those people who don't understand this language, what I mean is if I have $10,000 in the bank, and I want to invest $10,000 into something, okay? Whether it be real estate, whether it be a program, whether it be tools or equipment or whatever it is that I need to get my business up, or maybe you're just in your personal life, right? You've got construction that's going on at your house. You got renovations. You've got a broken HVAC, whatever, right? Your family needs help. If you have not only just good personal credit and you can leverage that money that you have that you don't need, but even more so business credit, well, now you aren't out $10,000 in your checking account. You're able to leverage that money on the other side, protect your cash, keep your cash invested, and then pay that cash back off. Or if you're helping someone else out, allow them to pay that card off for you. Okay. So this is just part one. This is just round one. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get this message out to as many people as possible because I get so many messages now. And I can't fault people for asking these questions. Man, how'd you get all these business credit cards? How'd you get all this stuff? Like, how do you do this stuff? And I have to slow people down because of understanding what I'm just telling you right here. You have to understand this first, okay? So that being said, appreciate everyone for listening, tuning in, share this out with whoever you deem as worthy of listening to this. whether it be a family member, whether it be a friend. This is just part one. If you have any questions, you will see our free Facebook group down below. It's called the Leverage Community. It will be titled Credit Alchemist. We're probably going to change that name soon, but this is not just about financial leverage. This is about leveraging life. Okay. I run a one-on-one mastermind as well called the Alchemy Mastermind for anybody that's looking to level up their life, start a business, and start really moving into their purpose and monetizing that purpose. As well, you can see down below, there's some other tools and resources. But if you're really curious about this piece right here, the Leverage Mentorship, my new group coaching mentorship is right in the wheelhouse for you. So if you have any questions about anything, all the links will be down below in the show notes. Please do not hesitate to reach out, share this out. If you are on social, go ahead and tag us, tag Evolve You Podcast and Dr. McElderry for my social tags. Let me know that you've listened to this, and I appreciate you so much for tuning in, taking time out of your day, spending it a little bit with me, and I will tap in with you in the next episode. Peace, love, and blessings to you.